Did you bring a Bible today? Amen. Will you hold it up? Say, my Bible is God's infallible, uncorruptible, eternal, living Word. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It's extremely important that we know who we are and what we believe and why we believe it. Our Supreme Court made some decisions on Thursday, and I want to briefly address them this morning because the world is looking for an answer, and you need to have a mouth that is ready to give them one. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus Christ weighed in on some of the most hot-button topics of his day, and he spoke with such wisdom that they were not able to resist it or refute it. As a matter of fact, they said, we can't believe what we're hearing. Where did he even get these kind of words with this kind of wisdom? I believe that's the word that God will give us. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would tell us what we would need to say in the hour that came, that we would need to speak for him and we didn't need to be afraid. Let me tell you, this is one of those hours. Can you say amen? Genesis 2:18, the word of God declares, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Look down at verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. What did he make it into? He made it into a woman, and he brought her to the man. He brought her to the man. Somebody say her. Her and him is what you have there. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God is instituting there in verse 24 a principle that from then on, when a man and a woman would come together as one flesh, it was the institution called marriage. Somebody say marriage. Amen. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The only way for us to be naked with one another and not be ashamed is to be under the covering of God's covenant called marriage. Somebody say marriage. Now, here's what I want you to see. God looks at man and he said, it's not good that he be alone. God's answer for man's loneliness, God's answer for man's companionship is a woman. God created a lover, God created a soulmate, and God created a person for Adam to do life with. That is God's design. Whose design is it? Okay, it's God's design. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Anything other than that is not a marriage. I didn't say that. God did. I don't argue with the author. I don't argue with the manufacturer. I want you to hear me closely, and if you'll come back next Sunday, I'm going to spend a lot more time weighing in on this and sharing with you what God's Word says. I want you to listen very close to what I'm about to say. God is adamantly opposed to any sexual union or relationship outside of the marriage covenant and the marriage bedroom between one man and one woman after they've said, I do. That's what God's Word says. Now, hear me closely. At Victory Church, one of our distinctives, one of the things that set apart who we are and the way we do ministry, is that we don't rail against sin or any lifestyle. We're not singling this one out. It's any lifestyle that is contrary to God's Word. We don't rail against it just because we don't agree with it. We address sin of any kind as something that is hurtful and harmful to man. We address it because we care. We address it because we want what is best for God's creation. We believe He knows best for what should happen and what should happen in our lives. I told you last week, God has given us an owner's manual. Amen? And every owner's manual shows us what you can do and what you can't do in order for three reasons. In order to get peak performance, in order to maximize the life and so you don't void the warranty. We don't want to void God's warranty, which is the manufacturer's promise. Now that I've said God's position on homosexuality, let me say this, and this is what I want you to listen very closely. Don't take what I say out of context. Listen to all of it, not part of it. This is a package deal. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus is God's love gift to the world. The very next scripture was one of my favorites. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listen to me close. If Jesus didn't condemn them, neither should we. At the same time, we don't condone these practices. Jesus did that with the woman at the well. He condemned her sin, but he did not condemn her. And that's exactly how we're going to handle this situation with homosexuality in our nation, because our mandate as a ministry and as a church is to be ministers of reconciliation. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse about 18 through 21. God has called us to bring people into reconciliation and to let them know their sins are forgiven, God's not angry with you, and you can go from being an enemy of God to becoming a friend of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, we cannot fulfill that mandate if you're standing there with a "God hates homos" and you're all headed for hell. Jesus did not handle people who were lost that way. He said, "I came for the sick, not for the healthy. I came for the poor, not for the wealthy. I came for the weak, not for the strong. I came for the people who could no longer hold on." He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." If he's the friend of sinners, we should be too. If he's their advocate, church, we should be too. If he's praying for them, then we should be too. If Jesus stood in the gap for those people who are lost, then we should be too, because they deserve to be respected and they deserve to be treated with dignity. Their actions have not diminished their worth, and we cannot become so focused on depravity that we fail to see their humanity. They're still worth the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we've got to find a way to show them compassion without compromise and stand for conviction without stepping over into condemnation. And I thank God today, and I am excited about the moment in which we live and God has placed us as a church, because where sin abounded, his grace abounded much more. This is an opportunity, church. And so I want to make sure you understand that we cannot minister to people and meet their needs and reach them through anger and through over-emotionalism, but we are here to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ. They are worth the blood of God's Son, because that's what he paid for them. Amen? And we're going to let them know that God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're from. There's a place at Victory Church for you, and there is a place in God's kingdom for you. And we all came to the cross the same way. Dirty, sinners in need of a Savior, and homosexuals and anybody else for that reason can go to heaven the same way any other person does, and that is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That is God's plan for salvation for every man. I don't care who you are. Amen? Are we in agreement this morning?